Hey, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
I hate those evil bastards at Puppy Co. for trying to take all the love from all the little boys and girls of the world. Because I think that was the plot?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. It's a boss baby.
All the boys say, boss. Hey, baby.
Boss.
As I called it, the only thing I laughed at last episode, l'exécutif en full, was the original French version. So, Boss Baby.
Boss
Our
baby.
First Pixar movie?
No, this is DreamWorks.
Okay. And that's not Pixar.
That is very much not Pixar.
I don't watch a lot of cartoons in this way. I watch a lot of cartoon like shows, but not a lot of like this style. So I just, it looks like Pixar to me.
It is DreamWorks. There's a few different ones because I think Sony has an animation department now as well. Like they did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. There's the Minions people.
Pixar.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
They're all Pixar, Grandpa.
Got it. Pixar.
Well, look at it's sort of like, to put it in terms you could understand. So you got the Minions, and then they evolve like Pokemon into DreamWorks, and then they evolve into Pixar. Pixar is the final form.
Oh, okay. So one is like the New Mutants and the other is like X-Force.
Sure, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. What do we talk about Boss Baby? John, we're men in our late 30s.
Yeah. Prime audience for Boss Baby.
Okay, let's we've never done this before. What made you say last week, hey, I have a great idea for what we should do next time? Why did you think Boss Baby?
Because
don't get me wrong, I don't disagree yet. I'm just wondering where the hell this came from.
It's nominated for an Oscar, and I thought that was funny.
An Oscar for what?
Best animation.
Okay.
Most baby.
All right. Two, before you brought that up to me, do you know how much baby ass was in this movie?
I did not notice.
You didn't notice?
I did not notice.
There was a lot of baby ass in this movie.
I don't know.
There was a full sequence around him, his brother slapping his ass and then farting through talcum powder.
I do not look at babies' asses. I don't know. I don't pay attention when babies' asses are there. I don't look at babies' asses.
You know how sometimes you can like protest something and then
I could walk down the street.
Too much.
You could take a baby's ass and hold it up and just like rub it against my cheek. And I'd be like, what is that? The breeze? I would have no idea.
Okay.
No, there is a quite a lot of baby ass.
A lot of baby ass in this movie.
I feel like this movie, you ask why did we watch it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know exactly who this is for. Because like there's certainly a lot of kids stuff in there. But it seems like a lot of it is sort of geared at a sort of middle-aged woman that works in HR and is like someone's aunt. Because there's a lot of like all these baby butt stuff when we think of an Ann Getty's calendar. And there's just a lot of like, oh, isn't this cute? Rather than like stuff kids would enjoy. A lot of that baby butt stuff was less potty humor for the kids and more just like, oh, look at that little tushy.
Yeah. There was also a fair amount of like pretty adult jokes in this that I found slightly off-putting.
Mm.
Like, not to go out of order.
It does not matter.
So there's a scene where Boss Baby and Tim have this conversation where he goes, are you the baby Jesus? And that was an awkward thing where it's like, well, that seems pretty anti-Christian. Not that this is a Christian movie, but
right. It's
like, it's a kid movie in America in 2018. You would think they probably wouldn't want to offend Christians.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a weird thing. But then it's followed up by them making jokes about sucking dick. Because they start doing the, no, you suck it. No, you suck it.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
They do it, it's like in like a, I mean, it's a, they're making a sex joke.
Yeah, it's not something you're reading into it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
That was awkward.
Well, that was during their weird pacifier ayahuasca trip.
Yeah, which I was fine with. And I get why this would be nominated for animation, because some of the animation sequences were very nice.
It's fine. But to me, not to diminish the fine work that these animators do, but it's just like Transformers having a lot of special effects. That takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
But for what? You know, like you certainly made this thing look awesome in this piece of shit movie. So, I mean, the animation is great, but I wouldn't recommend it going to see it because of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that good, but it's, you know, it looked better than I thought I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, I guess we should start from the beginning. So, John, where do babies come from?
This actually made me not happy. Babies are born in a factory.
Yeah.
In the sky, I guess.
And who works at the factory?
Babies work at the factory.
So baby slave labor factory in the sky
yeah.
is where babies come from.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole world of this movie. So this movie is based on a book, a children's book.
Called The Practices in China Are Correct and the World Should Adopt It.
It's actually called The Boss Baby by Marla Frazee. And it's a children's book, and it's basically that. It's basically like what the movie sort of starts to posit, where this kid has a younger brother, and the younger brother runs everything because babies take a lot of attention, stuff like that.
Which is where I thought this was going. Yeah.
Yes. And then the filmmakers went, no, let's just create this whole goofy ass universe around it that is equal parts like lazy and tired and batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Because the kid who's voiced by Tobey Maguire in narration form, and I'm still not sure why.
Because Tobey Maguire seemed to be doing somewhat of a voice that you couldn't recognize that was Tobey Maguire talking.
Right, but it's also just strange. Any of the narration stuff didn't really make sense to me. But we can get into that a little bit later. But then the kid, I guess I just found out, is the grandson of Ralph Bashke, the dude who did like Cool World, Fritz the Cat, Wizards, that animator.
Oh.
That's who was the voice of the actual kid.
Do you think we're the only show in history that has referenced Cool World 2 weeks in a row?
I hope so, for the good of humanity.
I didn't know that.
Found that out. Yeah,
that's a neat little thing.
So the movie opens with him. He's this 8-year-old, and he has this crazy imagination like no other kid. And
except for Calvin.
But then his life is ruined because his family has, you know, his parents have another child. And so you think this whole thing is like, no, he's imagining this boss baby situation. That's how he's coping with it. But no, the baby's actually wearing a suit and has a briefcase.
Yeah, because he confirms it with the mother. He goes, why is he wearing a suit? And she's like, oh, it's so cute he's wearing a suit. It's like, but that's weird. So, but we skipped over something very important. Much like the pooping Frankenstein toy from a previous movie.
Yes.
I predicted that you may have wanted that wizard alarm clock in this film.
At first I did, but then it got really... They just kept leaning into that joke.
Oh, they leaned hard. It was my favorite character for a while. And then,
the little kid has this wizard alarm clock by his bed that 7 a.m. wakes up and goes, what does he say? Like, wake up, halflings.
Yes.
It's 7 a.m. It's supposed to be some kind of Lord of the Rings thing. And then, he imagines that he has conversations with it. And it keeps saying, you shall not pass, and other things that we recognize from Lord of the Rings. And, once was cute, but it just keeps happening throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And it just gets really old. Also, why are you inventing a toy that yells at you? That's more grown-up stuff. I do that normally. Kids don't do that.
What do you mean a toy that yells at you?
Well, I will have, imaginary arguments with nobody. This kid's doing that basically with a toy. He's decided, because he's imagining the toy is like, you need to get over this baby. You're being a dick to this baby, basically.
Yeah. So the baby comes home, and I say this. Now, I know nothing about Boss Baby. Keep in mind.
Okay, well, hold on. Yeah, there's a factory in the sky that makes babies.
Yes.
So the babies that are born, I guess is the term I will use, at some point they're funneled through, metal detector thing that hand comes down, medical hand holding a feather, tickles them. If they laugh, they get to go to Earth. If they don't laugh, they have no souls and are put into management.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. I forgot there was a soulless automata.
So all throughout, this started the quizzical look on my face that lasted the entire movie. Because this just, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Because he goes to the, because then Boss Baby then goes to work inside Baby Co., where all these other babies work, and there are baby in the mailroom. There's baby janitors. Later, he has money. He has apparently been to restaurants. This whole baby world is an untapped resource that I do not understand.
Yeah, they really needed to do more there. Also, he makes reference that as long as he keeps drinking his magic baba, he doesn't age.
Yes, there's a magic formula that keeps the babies.
So theoretically, Boss Baby could be hundreds of years old.
In theory, yes.
Yeah, if we had never really entered the human world and just lived in this world more,
yeah.
I think in a kind of fucked up, soulless Willy Wonka kind of thing, and just lived in Boss Baby land, I think I would have liked this movie quite a bit more.
Well, it's a little bit like we talked about in Bright. Because you laid so much groundwork, it makes way less sense than if you just went no, he's a boss baby.
Yeah.
You know? But they passed this whole world, so I'm just wondering, why does he have money? Are there people, are there babies that are janitors at Baby Co.? And how are they chosen? Do they just get tickled and no, you're a janitor?
Yeah.
And then it's you know, makes me think, oh, so they decide that, that capitalism is just natural and that's just the way of life. That's pretty terrible message for kids.
Also, our lead character, or at least second lead, Boss Baby, is soulless.
He's awful.
No, but he's soulless. Yeah. By the definition of this,
yeah,
he was in management.
Right.
It means he was proven to have no soul.
Right. Which also, like, again, an argument against capitalism. So you think meritocracy exists? He was born into this job.
Yeah, very true.
You know?
Oh, and Steve Buscemi, the villain, has a soul because he got tickled at the end.
Yes, he does. But he also, yeah, no, that's what, well, but then Boss Baby technically gets tickled at the end. So I don't know if the idea is that even though management is soulless, on the outside, they actually are pretty decent people. You know, your boss is just like you.
Yeah.
So yes, so there's like this whole babies. There's this whole baby ass world. And in fact, so the kid, when you see the kid like having these imaginative adventures with his parents, they're like singing him to sleep. He has like 5 stories, 3 hugs, and a special song he gets before he goes to sleep. And in one of those scenes of that happening, the mom is very pregnant. And then the baby shows up in a cab.
Well, she says, hey, what do you think about getting a little brother? And he's like, hey, no thanks.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant at the time, which was
and
like,
then a baby shows up in a cab.
Yeah. I think you missed before, John. When I asked you where babies come from, I wasn't asking about the movies. John, where do babies come from?
A cab, apparently.
Oh,
the mom gets the mom gets a baby in a tummy, and then the baby takes a cab.
Yeah.
A baby co-cab to the front door.
Yeah.
Then
I mean, what do you think it is, a stork? I mean, have you heard of evolution, John?
Yeah, and then the boss baby has arrived on the scene.
German babies arrive in an Uber.
Well, that's been John Alex Hate Stuff, everybody. Thank you for listening.
No top of that. So Boss Baby rides in a cab, and he's
in
like,
in a cab.
Hey, I'm Boss Baby. And I say this in my notes. Baby equals Alec Baldwin. I predict an always be closing joke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't get an always be closing joke. I did get a cookies are for closers.
Yeah.
So I feel like I am now officially psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Or well, this movie is just really
there was
easy.
Well, there was also both because yeah. There was also that was in their advertisement too. Cookies are for closers.
Oh, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I knew literally nothing about this movie other than there was a movie called Boss Baby, and then you said, "Hey, we should watch it," and I said, "Yes."
That's how my first interaction with it was seeing it. I was in Michigan seeing one of the Star Wars movies, and there were signs up for it, and my girlfriend and I were laughing hilarious. You know, like this is so stupid.
Alec Baldwin says fart poop duty, which really crossed off something off of my bucket list, was to hear Alec Baldwin say fart poop duty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That just rolled off my back like a baby's butt on my cheek. Like yeah. I just didn't even notice it was there.
Where did you get that baby from? People at home, we don't have a video thing, but John actually is rubbing a human baby on his cheek right now. This is
keeps
horrible.
Me young. I'm like Catherine Bathory, but with butts.
You mean Elizabeth Bathory?
Whatever.
Yeah.
The kid, Tim. Is the, yeah.
Tim
is the
Templeton.
Name. Tim Templeton.
Yeah.
Who, all right, I'm also, just to backtrack a little bit, describing his family, I'm really irritated because he's like, my parents work in something really cool called marketing. Okay, that's not cool. Marketing is, I work with people in marketing. That's not
well, a, here,
ever cool.
Here's, I actually thought that was somewhat endearing. Is that he's a kid, so he's just an idiot and thinks... Okay, I thought that was endearing until they went to their actual job and it turns out they work in a fantasy world.
Right.
But, like, in that same way, you're like, my dad works at an office.
Right.
And you imagine it's like these, you know, glowing godlike file cabinets and, you know, like this magical being called the boss that's got a big beard. You know, like, in that dumb way of kids.
But it upsets me that selling marketing to kids is cool. Like, that's is the thing they should go do. That's a little moralizing high horse thing, but I was just like, it'd be cooler if they were like anything else. Like even if they were lawyers, I'd be like, no, I get that.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, they work in marketing for puppies.
Yeah, it's not
good. Internet.
They work in marketing for puppies at a place that produces a lot of smoke for a, when they actually get there, it has
oh,
like
that's
giant
what I reject.
Smoke sex.
Yeah. That one spot was slightly left of center of the vertebrae, so they
put
just throw it straight in the incinerator.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, puppy mills.
So his parents is played by wackadoodle anti-vax lady, right?
No, Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow. Okay, that's not what's-her-face.
Well,
I can't think of her name.
Jenny McCarthy?
No, the other one. The one that sells all like the fake, like, you know, like pussy yogurt and stuff. What the hell's her name?
Oprah?
No, fuck. Hold on.
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow, thank
no.
you. So I couldn't think of her fucking name. I was like, that lady. And then I was like, what's she in? And I'm like,
nothing.
Literally,
yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow never been in a movie. Wiped from my. I thought of Cameron fucking Diaz.
Oh,
before
yeah,
I came up with Gwyneth Paltrow. Sorry.
No, it's Lisa Kudrow and Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, that's Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes, doing a bang up job of reading lines off a script. That's what he was doing. It's not like the role called for much, but I don't know if it's in his contract or we're just going to pay you a shit ton of money. And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. I'll just come read some lines off a script.
He was fine.
He was there.
Yeah. Nothing offensive, but couldn't even. But why did they make the mom look like a who? She's got like a Cindy Lou Who look about her. And that was weird because everybody else looked human.
I didn't really notice. She just looked like a cartoon mom, I guess. But I see what you're saying, like with the little pointy nose or whatever.
Yeah, it threw me off.
Mm-hmm.
I very much am only saying that because I don't have very many notes for this movie. Oh, so sure. I thought I'd just say all of them that are on here.
That's fine.
My next note is this ninja sequence looks nice.
Yeah, so this kid starts to not trust the baby because why would you? He's a boss baby. And when he's sneaking in to try to spy on the baby, it becomes this, because of his overactive imagination, it becomes this like 2D animated sequence. But yeah, it was super neat looking. And it goes in those flights of fancy occasionally. And that was kind of fun. But that's when he discovers that the boss baby has a plan, a nefarious plan.
Yeah. And what was the nefarious plan?
Well, he just knew it was more just nefarious that he was interloping.
This is where he has like his baby meeting.
Yeah. And about how he's going to take all the love from, this is before the baby meeting, because it's him just saying he's going to take all the love from the kid. So he's not telling the kid what he's actually there for yet. He's just there to crush him, apparently.
Now, when we get to the baby meeting, which is somewhere around here,
mm-hmm.
did you notice the fat baby, what that looks like?
A fat baby?
Like the super fat one, the one that's like, that's his character.
Yeah,
trait.
Yeah. I don't know what you're asking me.
What did that remind you of anyone or thing?
No.
Human Bender.
Remember when
Bender turns human?
Oh!
It looks exactly like baby.
It totally does. Like when he gets all fat. Yeah,
totally. Like just that woo thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty great.
So there's your episode art.
Why
is there a picture of an obscure Futurama character?
Yeah. No, that's pretty. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. And then that goes into one of the many chase scenes that this movie has. This movie has a ton of chase scenes.
Yeah. This movie is about 30% chase scene.
Yeah. Any sort of action scene is a chase scene because the baby has a meeting with other babies. This doesn't make any sense to me.
That makes complete sense. Would you like me to explain it? No, don't please. Don't say yes.
I guess I should preface this by saying all babies know about Baby Co. and where babies come from because you know about it when you suck on a pacifier. I guess it has to be a specific Baby Co. pacifier. And as soon as you stop doing that, then you forget that it even exists. So all these babies are still working for the company, even though they're not, like, I don't know. Because these people, like, they went to families. They're not all undercover like Boss Baby, which also, would you send middle management to do an undercover job? You know, that doesn't seem like good leadership there, corporate baby town.
Well, I mean, obviously, you saw how many pictures of babies were on the wall. I mean, they're like a revolving door of kicking out top baby position.
Which, by the way, Boss Baby's name is actually Boss Baby.
Yeah.
And then there are other Boss Babies like Super Fat Boss Baby.
Yeah.
Like Awesome Boss Baby.
Yeah, Giant Boss Baby. Yeah.
Wow. No, you couldn't try. You couldn't do anything else. But that just felt like really leaning hard into it.
Yeah. Well, the one aspect of that I liked, but I did enjoy that they didn't give the boss baby an actual name until all the way at the end of the film.
Oh, did they actually give him a name?
Yeah. I know his middle name was Leslie. Cause he laughed at him. But anyway, yes, you're 100% right. It's just the one aspect I liked of that is that they didn't humanize the baby. It was just like this mythical creature from space that was, you know.
Yeah.
Mythical,
well, no, it was named Boss Baby.
Yeah. No, but it wasn't like the Boss Baby, but then when he's on Earth, you hear Tin's parents call the other baby Jackson or whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
it's just Boss Baby.
It's like, just we're living Boss Baby.
I think it's just we've full tilt committed to this bananas concept instead of it being remotely possible that it's, you know, a flight of fancy. Like,
right,
this is actually happening. Like the true reality is,
right, or is it? Because so what happens?
No, it is though.
Well, here's the thing. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But the movie isn't sure. Because when they have the meeting, so the Boss Baby has a meeting with these other babies, and he outlines that, yeah, there's this puppy place, Puppy Co., that's making cute puppies, and it's ruining the amount of love babies get, so people will somehow stop having babies and just get puppies, because the human race doesn't matter. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, original pie chart was showing two people humping.
Right.
And they're like, no, the more people have babies, the less they want to fuck each other.
So
that's where babies come from.
Yeah. And the kid records it. Tim records the meeting to show that the baby can actually talk and it can also scheme. And so then there's this chase scene of them trying to get the tape back.
Yeah.
But at one point during the chase scene, the parents look outside and it looks like they're just playing. What was once a high speed chase is now just clearly kids playing.
Yeah.
So is it all in his head? No, it's not, because this stuff is actually going on, but it isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you're like, right. The movie, it doesn't have a clear, yeah. Now.
But it also doesn't like play with that. It doesn't go like, no, this is all in this kid's head and this baby's
kid. No, it's like poorly done Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that 70s chase sequence to the theme from SWAT, I think it was. I looked it up and I forgot to write it down. But I thought it'd be hilarious if during that they cut to, in quotes, real life, and you see a baby, like a toddler, just beating the shit out of a baby and then throwing it through a plate glass window and having shit explode. Like, that scene is a fucking nightmare from the depths of every parent's hell.
Yeah.
If any one of those things was actually happening, it'd be really funny to have, like, the Hobbs is actually a stuffed tiger scene of that, but it's a toddler just wailing on a baby.
Yeah, because in one of the moments, the large baby we referenced earlier, I think his name's Dudley, but I might have just decided that was his name.
No, that's Harry's fat cousin from Harry Potter.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to call this baby Dudley. He's this giant just thumb of a child, and he's their powerhouse. He's their heavy hitter, and he's also like an idiot. As far as they're babies, but he's dumb. As capitalism does, it exploits him for what he can do, and that is to crash through fences and with raw brute strength toss Boss Baby through a plate glass window.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to get him up to the second floor where Tim has escaped to, but he just launches this child, infant, through a plate glass window. And like, again, this is actually happening because the parents go outside and all this other stuff that has happened in the chase scene, like their toy fire truck is on fire.
Yeah.
There's all this other stuff that is wacky stuff that has happened. So that baby just went through a plate glass window.
Exactly. So if they'd cut to real life, there'd just be a baby lying on the floor, just cut to fucking shreds. Yeah. Also, on a list of things I didn't know I needed to hear in my life was Alec Baldwin going, I need upsies.
Yes.
Really, I get why they cast him in this. And I was annoyed at how amused I was to hear his voice say ridiculous things like that.
Well, so, you know, infamously on Saturday Night Live, he would do that Shweddy Wieners thing. I don't know if you ever saw that. It was like an NPR show.
Yeah, Shweddy Balls.
Shweddy Balls,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
But he, I think it was either in the oral history of it or something else where he talked about, he's like, I can do crap like that all day long. It's not funny to me. But there's one sketch where they're redoing Rebel Without a Cause. And it was like one of the first times he was on the show. And Phil Hartman at one point playing like the square dad goes like, take me with you in this very pathetic way. And Alec Baldwin breaks.
Oh, really?
That's one of the few times on the show that he's ever broken. Because he's like, there's something about that, how pathetic that line was. But somehow saying, you know, Shorty Balls and I need upsies or whatever he can do all day long.
Oh, yeah. I get how he could do that. It's just for me hearing his voice. Because I really only know him from his dramatic stuff. Like that Shorty Balls, I've only seen one of those. Like I haven't watched Saturday Night Live pretty much ever. So
yeah.
I only know him as a dramatic actor. I haven't seen much of 30 Rock. So like for me, it's still pretty like, oh, this is weird to hear this.
You know? See, yeah. Because having watched a lot of 30 Rock, it's some of it's very just Jack Donaghy. It's, you know, that same kind of him being an executive and saying executive things.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was
which I can see as a selling point. You know, if you are a person that likes that and wants to watch more of that, sure, this movie has that for you.
Yeah, or someone like me that doesn't know anything about it because it's like, hey, that guy, he's a serious actor and he's saying funny stuff.
The one bit I did honestly laugh at this during the that chase scene is when like Boss Baby driving the little like police car or whatever ramps over the kid and it cuts like slow motion of the car going over him and you just see the feet underneath pedaling.
Oh yeah.
That I thought that was very clever. That made me laugh.
So this gets Tim grounded because of it. And Wizzy, the Gandalf alarm clock, mm-hmm. still my favorite character at this point, refers to in the jail scene whether he needs to go get his magical shank.
Yes.
Which made me laugh again that he's referencing murdering the shit out of someone mm-hmm. in a children's movie. Yeah. And this kid is in jail, grounded, because his little brother was thrown through a fucking plate glass window.
Yeah. Well, he was actually grounded because he was going to try to launch him out of the self-same.
Oh, that's
self-same.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah, the end of that sequence, he was going to catapult him out of one of those bouncy chair things.
Yeah, but that's when Boss Baby realizes that he needs Tim's help. Find out, he's supposed to find out about this new puppy they're making, and he can't do that without Tim's help. So they form an alliance, because Boss Baby doesn't want to be there either.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be there. And Tim doesn't want him there. So he's like, just do this and I'll be out of your hair. And so they form a uneasy alliance.
And the other line that really had me laugh in this, probably the only Tim line that made me laugh was Tim going, "That's my song," when Blackbird was mm-hmm. being sung. And he's like, "That's not your song. Your parents didn't write that. Lennon McCartney."
Were your parents Lennon and McCartney?
Lennon McCartney. And he goes, "You don't even know their names. My parents are, you know, Bob and Leslie."
Right.
Made me laugh.
Yeah. No, I was.
I'm trying here.
Got a chuckle.
I'm trying to find any. Here's the problem with this movie is this is so not for me that I'm not. I don't feel comfortable laughing.
Here's my thing with that. Like, I've watched plenty of kids' movies that I enjoy. That are still, I would argue, are good movies. That I think, you know, like, even like, I just watched Lego Batman over.
Yeah.
I had a ton of fun with that. It was a visual assault, but it was enjoyable to watch. And like, any of the Pixar movies are decent movies, for the most part. And this was just a mess.
I don't watch a lot of that stuff because, again, I don't like having baby butts rubbed on my face. And that's mm-hmm. a different baby you have on your face right now. How was that even? How many babies did you bring with
you? The other one I used up.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. It does look a little mm-hmm. ragged. Just throw that thing through a window.
So then they form an uneasy alliance, and then they actually go to Puppy Co. because it's take your daughter to work, or take your child to work day.
Well, we missed one of the other things. This is where the pacifier sucking scene happens, where we get all the backstory.
Right,
that's how
he gets Tim on his side, is that they take the ayahuasca trip.
And his father walks in while they're staring at each other, sucking pacifiers violently, and then gives a and walks out backwards silently. This movie's weird.
Yeah. And that's where you find out that about like the magical formula that keeps them all young.
Yeah.
And that, there's a hierarchy of working at Baby Corps.
Yeah. And then if he gets this job done, he's going to get a really sweet office with his own private potty.
What do you do when you get off work at Baby Corps? Are there baby families?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point.
You know, it's almost the antithesis of, and I may have talked about this on the show before, one of the things that irritated me about the Tron reboot, or the sequel or whatever, when the kid gets sucked into the machine and gets sucked into the arena, he is fitted out for the arena by these programs, I guess, that come out of the wall, you know, give him the armor and disc or whatever. And then later, when those programs get off work, he runs into one of them and they go to a club together. What do you mean a program got off work? Like, why is she on the street going home? It's a program. That doesn't make any sense. Whereas this is the opposite of that, where I'm like, why? These babies are working all day. They can't just live there, right? They have to go home at some point.
Yeah. We need a whole movie just set in this weird...
Well, there is a sequel coming out.
Is that true?
I think it's going direct to Netflix, and I don't think anyone like on the acting side of it is involved. I think it's all just different people. Based on the I just saw it on Netflix after I got done watching this. It was like,
yeah, I don't even need another. I need more like a Cimmerillion or like some kind of compendium guide to the explanation of
like
what
the
goes
appendix
on
at the end of Dune.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I need to know like because they drink that milk. That's like taking the water of life, the spice.
Which okay, well, when we get to the end, I have milk questions.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, it goes. It's milk lemonade, and then around the corner.
Oh, around the corner
is where the fudge factory is located.
Okay. Yeah. All right, ask and answer.
So they suck each other off, and then it's go to work day.
Yes, that's... take your child to work day. At the puppy, and as we mentioned, it's like this idyllic, almost like farmhouse-looking thing that is just billowing smoke into the sky. There's just tons of puppies everywhere. It's like that Robin Williams movie, Toys. Yeah, but with puppies.
This is true. So everything's hilarious and, oh, it's so cute and whatever. Then they see a disturbing dog mascot.
Yes.
I didn't find that disturbing in the slightest.
No, but I kind of wish that didn't become anything. But it does later. But it's clearly a guy in a suit that's their mascot. And he keeps staring at them. And you can see his beady little eyes in the dog costume. And it was just this super awkward, strange thing. And I kind of wish it was just left at that. Turns out it's this character we'll meet later. But
I just thought the animation was done poorly. Like, it didn't have any menace to it. Like,
no, but that's why I think that's why I liked it. Is because it didn't. It was just weird. They were just uncomfortable with it. And it wasn't done over the top or anything. It was just a strange man in a suit.
And this is, I don't know if it's the first time or it's at least one of the first times that we see Boss Baby just throw money at people after something goes wrong. Yeah. I don't know if I love or...
He has money. Yeah, I don't know if I can stress that enough. Yeah. Like, what does he do? Why does he have money? What does he do with that money?
Yeah, what is
what he... Does he invest? What does he invest in?
Do they have, like... I mean, what do they eat in Baby Boss Baby
just
land?
Just that formula.
So what does he eat milk for?
He does eat because he references, like, I could kill for some good sushi.
That's right.
And he only has one tooth.
Does he have to pay rent?
Yeah. I don't know. My guess is he owns. Oh, he might have a condo. I don't know.
I bet you he's got a really nice condo.
Yeah. Because I don't think he's a guy that would, like, just give his money away month after month to a landlord. I think he's a...
Yeah. And how do they get to and from work?
Yeah. I don't know. Because
they can't drive.
But then, so, yeah. Or is there, like baby mass transit? And then how do you pick baby bus drivers?
And where do new babies come from?
They're you saw where they're built. But to what end?
Wait, were they built?
Presumably.
What do you mean?
Well, they
did
don't
that
just
happen.
They're in a factory. I can only assume they're built.
But they didn't actually show a scene where they're like stitching babies together. Or
no, you see the end of the process. So I don't know if it's just like if basically DNA is just put into
that's
a form,
right,
and they just slap it together they're making
I
a doll.
I forgot that scene. Yeah, they show it like literally spitting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot there was actually like a shoot that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. My mistake. Dumb question.
This all makes sense.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. This movie's great.
Yeah. It all.
I mean, forget Glengarry Glen Ross.
But so they're worried. The whole thing, you know, they're worried about Puppy Co. taking love away from babies or something.
Yeah.
Like they're going to lose business? Like what? To what end do they. Are they making these babies? You know what I mean? Like no one's buying these babies. So what are they paying their? What are they paying the babies that work there with?
Midichlorians?
Okay, now we're on to something.
This is like the problem with every villain thing where it's like, you know, I will have ultimate power, and it's like, well, okay, well, now what? Like, maybe that's why we're not good business people. Maybe is this how business works, John?
This is how business
works. Where do businesses come from?
You just accept that people spend money on baby sushi. So, yeah, no, that's how Boss Baby solves problems, is he throws money at things.
So then they contrive basically they gut a teddy bear and shove Boss Baby into it.
Mm-hmm.
So he pretends to be, I guess, a teddy dog, sorry. So he can sneak in to the employee-only area. Shenanigans ensue. And then basically they both just walk through that door.
Yeah, it's a long way to go.
Did this movie somehow run short? Like,
no!
Gosh,
I wish!
But
it was very long. It's not even, it's like barely an hour and a half. It's a little over, and it was very long.
But how are there room for so many chase sequences, so many, like, these little asides? Like, I mean, I guess because there's no plot.
Well, because the valuable time they could be spending telling me what's going on with this baby factory, they squandered on those chase scenes.
Are they building the puppies?
Apparently.
Okay. Maybe that's where the smoke comes from.
Yeah, but that's not good, though.
Is the puppy making apparatus? Because I was thinking it was like some kind of like awful, like literally puppy mill.
Right.
Like the bad puppies are like ground up to be puppy food.
I mean, essentially, I'm assuming they do because babies are produced the same way in what looks like a completely green factory. Like they're not producing any waste.
It's true.
The babies do, huh? But the factory itself, not so much.
Wait, where does the milk come from then?
Don't know.
Do they have like giant god tits somewhere that they like milk for that magical juice?
I don't know.
That was a weird sentence I just said.
So we know there's a board of directors for babies because that gets referenced later. That's like where the top babies go.
Yeah.
But then who do they serve? Like, are there shareholders? We're the shareholders. Is that God?
Yeah, I mean, I think God and his host, the celestial angels, are he's top brass, and then that's
he needs money from this baby company, or he's gonna like not be, you know.
John,
what
have you ever bought a universe? That's just expensive.
I have not. No.
I mean, just oceans alone are dear.
You know what's free though? Imagining universes
and love.
Yeah.
I mean, don't tell anybody that, especially at PuppyCo.
Yeah.
They sneak into the back and to a giant game of Mousetrap for some reason.
Well, they find a file, the file that he's looking for, and they do this whole, hey, do you remember Raiders of the Lost Ark thing where they have to switch out the folder for the exact same folder?
Yeah, who is this movie for? Because how the hell would any kid know what the fuck that
is? I don't know.
Is?
I mean, it's a goofy-ass sequence, and, you know, maybe kids, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I guess they would just find it funny just because weird things are happening.
And a baby, like, can tell the exact weight of manila folders because, you know, office humor goes over well with seven-year-olds.
Yeah, as someone that works with paper a lot, like at a print company, his reference to like GSM of that folder made me both sad and really depressed.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, you're supposed to have two different sides of that. No, it just made me really sad, depressed. And.
But just like Boss Baby.
Yeah. John, I really want to die. Anyway, we're going back to Boss Baby.
Boss Baby.
let's just keep laughing. Laughing makes the pain go away.
So then they get found out and captured by the head of PuppyCo, who it turns out was formerly a baby.
Francis.
Right. Who was like super colossal, awesome fat Boss Baby or something.
Yeah.
Previously. But then what happened, turns out, he was lactose intolerant, developed somehow lactose intolerance, could not take the magical formula anymore. And so PuppyCo turned their back on him, had to let him go. And Boss Baby's current boss replaced him.
Sure. Let's just go with that. Mm-hmm. So he says, I'm going to get revenge on PuppyCo. And revenge on PuppyCo, by the way, would be the end of the human race.
Yes.
Let's keep that in mind. There'd be no more babies happening.
100%.
His revenge is with the forever puppy, a puppy that remains a puppy forever using the magical milk.
Yes. And he can still remember PuppyCo, by the way, because he still has a PuppyCo pacifier.
Yes.
I don't want there to be any confusion about this.
You would
movie.
Think everybody at a rave in the mid-90s would have totally that's why remember
I think,
their child.
That's why I think it's specifically PuppyCo.
Yeah, that was my problem. All my pacifiers were from CVS when I was tits up on Molly.
Right.
I want a forever puppy, but with a cat. I would like a forever kitty.
Okay. Let me go off on a little aside here. Is that animated movies have a vicious anti-cat agenda. Particularly of the DreamWorks variety.
You mean Pixar?
If you'll notice in the pie chart of amount of love available in the world, the big portions. So babies take up like the largest amount currently, but puppies moving fast on that. Hence the plot of the movie. But then underneath there's like pizza and other stuff, and then a tiny sliver for cats.
Yeah.
And then in like A Secret Life of Pets, the cat that movie huge asshole. No, you know whatever. He's a jerk. Cats in animated movies routinely are villains and bad guys.
Well, because cats are evil.
See, but I disagree with that. I think that's propaganda telling you that. I think that's the man.
No, I mean, I like cats. I'm a cat person, but cats are evil. Like, you're aware of this. Like, they attack you. They run the house. Dogs are, you know, dumb and loyal.
Oh, so, man. Yeah. No, dogs run you way more than cats. Cats like, oh, I'm just going to put down some food, and I'm going to go away for an entire day. It does not matter.
No, but that's what I'm saying is they run the house.
Yeah, but no, but dogs run you, like Boss Baby. Like, where you got to pay it, you got to walk them. You got to center your whole life around what this
dog's
doing.
Obviously, you've never abused a dog for a long period of time, because I assure you, you can get away without it.
Fair enough. I've just done it in short stints.
Yeah.
But no, I just think cartoons have anti-cat agenda.
Yeah, sure. They are usually evil. The Siamese cats that sang that song, evil and racist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes.
I don't please.
I agree with you that I would like a forever puppy that is also a kitty. This movie would make so much more sense if it was that. If it was cats versus dogs rather than human babies versus dogs. Because then that would, you could just buy like, okay, well, he wants to stop cats forever. Fine. That's ridiculous. But his plan involves ending the human race, basically. But without him actually acknowledging that or, you know, like the weight of that being a thing. It's more just that he wants to stop PuppyCo from making the money it makes from people having babies? I don't know. It just doesn't seem thought through.
Yeah. John, you're right.
Yeah.
The plot to Boss Baby doesn't seem very well thought through.
It does not seem well thought through. I think you could do better.
All right, so we...
For an Oscar-nominated film.
Yeah, but fucking Suicide Squad was Oscar-nominated. That doesn't mean much.
Mm.
that whole, how do they end that scene? How do they get out of the bad guy's lair?
Because how they get home is that,
so how does the scene end? That's the
Scene ends is that, so he's got this, the whole time they've been at the puppy mill, they've seen this creepy dog mascot that it's revealed to be, it's a guy in a suit, but it's the guy in the suit is revealed to be Francis's brother, who when he was kicked out of Baby Co., he got sent to live on this farm with this gigantic family, and he's got this gigantic silent brother that's just this big muscle evil guy, and that obeys all of Francis's whims. Francis, after outlining his plan, or laying out his plan, says, I'm going to unveil this puppy at the puppy convention in Las Vegas. Your parents are going to help me do it because they're in that cool job of marketing. There's nothing you can do about it because I'm going to convince them to leave you with our in-company childcare, which is his brother dressed like Mrs.
Doubtfire. Oh, that's right. Okay, that's, yeah, I couldn't remember how that transitioned. Yeah.
So then the parents go off. The baby and Tim are under the watchful eye of whatever, like Eugene, I think is the brother's name. They got to figure out, how do we get to Vegas? And their plan is,
I think we're going to ride our bikes to the airport.
No. How do they get away from Eugene? They create this whole plan where they make fake baby sick and they hook it up to a vacuum.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Tim is like, I've had a lot of babysitters. If there's one thing I know they don't like, it's sick babies, I guess. So they use a whole bunch of cereal and whatever is handy and make fake vomit, have the baby just spray it all over the room, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
But I can see being a kid thinking that's funny because it's done in a very, like, you know, it's fake. And
yeah, no, that's totally like, yeah, that's a little kid joke.
It's more, it's more like, it looks like Nickelodeon slime almost.
Yeah.
And yeah, Eugene, oh no, that's terrible. I can't possibly be around this. So he goes to the toilet to throw up. Then they shove his head in the toilet and latch it shut.
Oh, that's right.
So they're
right.
Going to drown this man.
Yeah. Yeah, more murder.
Again. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, he is complicit in the attempted annihilation of the human race.
That's
so
fair.
I
don't think a jury would convict.
Yeah, him. I'm not saying it's right to murder your babysitters, but when they're trying to end life as we know it, probably just cause.
When they're genocidal maniacs.
Yeah, probably just cause. You know, you can time travel back and kill Hitler when he's a baby, totally fine. You can drown the Mrs. Doubtfire in the toilet.
Well, and so they try to escape, but they realize the only way to escape is to take the bike. Tim can't ride a bike without training wheels. So it's got training wheels on it. He's going to do his best to get there. But then Eugene has escaped. He's got a toilet on his head, but I don't know how he gets it off his head. But then yet another chase scene starts where Eugene is chasing them. They're on a bike. He's on foot at first.
But then, and the other kids join up.
Yeah,
at some
Boss
point.
Baby. Yeah. Boss Baby calls. He has a cell phone, I guess. Who runs cell phone coverage?
Probably Cricket.
Yeah, but he calls up all the other babies, and they get on their little vehicles again. And there's a hilarious, I guess, chase scene with a big fat baby does more terrifying things.
Now, during the chase scene, it teaches children to run away from babysitters and try to jump trains on your bicycle while your baby brother is you're holding your baby brother.
Yes,
this is not a good message.
How they ultimately escape is that they jump a train and the kid imagines he's Evel Knievel. You're actually doing something awesome. Why are you imagining you're somebody else? You know what I mean?
Also, how do you know who Evel Knievel is?
Yeah, to be fair, like, I knew a bunch of stuff. Like when I was a kid, I knew who Humphrey Bogart was just from watching Looney Tunes.
No, but I mean, Evel
Knievel. So he could watch other cartoons that, you know, we don't know this kid's backstory.
Yeah, I guess. It just seems, that seems like a weird one for a child to know.
Yeah.
Like a child from presumably the 90s?
Well, it's also, why is there a whole bunch of Elvis references later? Like, do kids have any idea what that is?
I think they do in the same way we knew what Humphrey Bogart sounded like from Looney Tunes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I think that you could apply that same logic to Evel
Knievel. I just don't think Evel Knievel is referenced
all
that
often. Or at least Crazy Stuntman. I don't know that you could specifically need to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if this was Super Dave Osborne, I would 100% would understand.
But yeah, so they very dangerously hop a train.
Yeah.
And that stops Eugene. Then they get to the airport where they're able to just run through the airport. That's not a problem.
Pre-9/11.
Yes. So that's fine. So yeah, so this movie does take place in the past.
Yeah.
And Boss Baby's having this problem now where, because he's been away from his formula for so long, he's starting to revert to being a baby, in a way that's very convenient, and goes away when it needs to. And the only way they don't get on the plane, the only way they can actually get there is by pretending to be, there's a plane of Elvis impersonators going to Vegas, and so they kidnap an Elvis. They steal an Elvis impersonator's clothes while he takes everything off in the bathroom to take a dump, I guess, and they take the clothes. And that was the scene I actually enjoyed. There's a funny, like, where they're speaking in Elvis to one another, and you see the subtitles.
Yeah, no, that made me laugh.
I actually noted
how has that not been done before?
Because
that is such a funny, obvious joke. And
yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. Just that, like, going down here. Right. That's my Elvis mumbling impression, by the way.
They get on the plane.
Spot on.
And to kill time on the plane, they have... Tim takes one of his flights of fancy where he's pretending to be a pirate and teaches Boss Baby about how to imagine and have fun a little bit.
Oh, but they have silverware on that flight, so definitely pre-9/11.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Well, they're also in first class. They've snuck into first class. You can still get silverware in first class.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at Mr. Highfalutin.
I know. I flew here.
Oh, wow. That's incredibly wasteful.
No, I did fly first class once. Somehow I got bumped up to it in a way that didn't, like, the ticket I bought was no more. This was, like, 10 years ago. And it was flying from Portland to Minneapolis, and this kid about my age sits down, also with stupid facial hair, but also wearing a suit, sits down next to me, and, like, before the plane takes off, he leans over to me and goes, like, do they know that we're here? I'm like, I don't know. So we just drank a whole bunch of Bloody Marys and talked about the Mighty Boosh. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what that was. But, yeah, I got silverware. Anyway.
They have a their Flight of Fancy thing where he's teaching him how to be a pirate in his Flights of Fancy.
Yeah.
And he has a funny line where to try to insult the villain, Boss Baby goes, "Arr, you went to a community college."
Yes.
Which I found rather funny.
Well, yeah, well, that's... See, this was part of the problem I had, where all of Boss Baby, because he only knows business. When he's trying to make someone, because I have this pirate fantasy thing, when he's trying to make someone walk the plank, he's, like, firing them. So he's okay with, like, murdering people that no longer work for the company and all that. It just was, again, this sort of pernicious tying of to capitalism that made me...
Yeah, also elitism, that he can't afford to go to a good college, and all of a sudden you're beneath.
Yeah, which you didn't go to college. You were a baby that was born into your job.
But you don't know
how
old
he
is.
You have no skills.
He could have multiple PhDs.
Why would you? Do you have no time for school? You're going to you're going. You're working all the time, and then when you're not at work, you're expected to be at the beck and call, provided work calls you when you're, even if you're on Earth or wherever this is.
Well, no, because you asked what they do in their free time earlier.
Right.
They go to college.
They go to college. Well, who teaches that college?
Professor Baby.
But how do you get to be Professor Baby?
You go to baby college.
But how are you decided that you... Are you fired from the company?
John,
you
ever heard of the fucking SATs?
In the company?
The GREs? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I
get
everything.
But
the fucking sorting hat.
That would make more sense. But there's just management or family. That's it. Those are the only two modes that we see in the movie. You're either tickled and you go and live with the family, or you're not. You're tickled and you don't laugh and you just become management.
Those poor fucks.
They get to Vegas. There's another chase scene where they stop Francis. Francis unveils the ever puppy or whatever.
Well, no, before that, they have to get to the convention center. So they trick a bachelorette party.
Yes.
To pick them up. And here's another thing of this movie teaches bad lessons. Tim gets out of the car with the bachelorette party. The baby has been molested. There's kisses all over his face. He's got a half full drink in his hand. And he goes, those people in Long Island have no idea how to make iced tea.
Yes.
So he's been drinking a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
This child is getting hammered with women on their bachelorette party that have molested Boss Baby.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That tracks. That is exactly what happened.
Cool. Yes, then they go to the forever puppy reveal.
Yeah, and of course everyone wants one. People are forgetting their children because they want one so bad. Tim's parents are apparently the only two people that work at the company. They're on stage with him, with Francis for this reveal.
Yes.
And when Francis sees that Boss Baby and Tim are there, he kidnaps the parents, shuts them in this giant heart-shaped locket thing that was part of the reveal of the ever puppy, and runs off, leading to another chase scene.
Oh, though before that, there is a so on the nose, but maybe laughing, where they reveal the forever puppy. Some lady in the audience that's holding her baby goes, "Oh my God, it's so cute!" and just hands her baby to someone standing next to her.
Yeah.
Went, well, that's pretty on the nose, but you're staying on theme. And I just do like the idea of a woman just abandoning her child because of a cute puppy.
But again, because the economies of this movie don't make any sense, he's not like just like, okay, the upper puppy, boom, buy your local Puppy Co. store. He is going to stuff a rocket full of puppies and launch it around the world, and it's just going to rain puppies on everybody.
Yeah, and?
So how do you make how does that shut down Baby Co?
Advertising money.
But you have it. You don't. What are you advertising? The thing that you already have?
Puppy Co.
But you have this ever puppy that you're never going to need another puppy again. Why would you?
Everybody's going to know Puppy Co's name after this baby. This is both a literal and a metaphorical rocket.
Because everyone's going to have the one product that you apparently care about anymore that you're just giving away.
Rocket.
Anyway, so
Puppy Rocket.
So there's a whole thing where they
Elon Musk.
that's now that I could get behind. That Tesla is just full of puppies in space.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so
what
great.
A monster. He just launched a bunch of puppies into orbit.
The trunk pops open and like 12 dead puppies just slowly float through frame. And one baby in a suit.
And then he just has the collar like that. Yeah, then they through the machinations, they stop the puppy thing from being launched. And it ends up with Francis has them cornered and then almost falling off this balcony. But then Boss Baby remembers how to imagine and reenacts his pirate thing.
Yeah, well, Tim sings Blackbird to him.
Well, that's to get him out of his baby stupor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, but this is one of those things where this is the when they revealed Blackbird in the beginning, where he's playing that song, and then they called back to it very early in the movie, I made a prediction of those motherfuckers are going to make me feel emotions towards the song at the end of the movie. And that fucking scene made me feel emotions towards that song, and that annoyed the shit out of me because that is such an obvious ploy.
Yes.
And I hate when I fall for it, and I totally did. I mean, I'm not like openly weeping Frankie Angel
style, but it's getting you.
I felt things like, the fuck you fucking easy trick falling for.
Yeah, same thing happened to me. And I get mad mainly because it worked. Because I'm just like, God. They're one-upping the villain is Boss Baby remembering how to imagine or that channeling that playful side, and they end up throwing Francis off the balcony where he lands into the giant vat of the magical formula that keeps everyone young, who he then later emerges as a baby again.
Yes.
Okay. So he can take the formula.
Well, no, he's lactose intolerant. So when he fell in there,
He became a
parents
baby
out.
Again.
No, see, he's lactose intolerant. So when he fell in there, it's just, so he's a baby now.
So, and then Eugene, his silent, oafish brother, like picks him up and goes like, this time we'll raise him right. Because that was hilarious, but whatever, kid probably like it. But so he's a baby again.
Yeah.
If I were Baby Co, snatch him back up.
Yeah, or at least like...
Because he was good at his job, and then like he had this Puppy Co thing that became your main competitor? Buy him out.
That man's talent. Also, get him some fucking Lactaid.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work for the magical formula.
I never read the boxes. Tim gets his parents out of the box here. And at no point did the parents go, hey, child and baby, why are you in Las fucking Vegas?
Well, they do at the very beginning, like when they're spotted, they're a little bit like, what are you guys doing here? But then it's ignored because they let him out of a box. So why would you ask questions after that?
Yeah.
Somehow Francis becomes a baby again, whatever. And then...
Yeah, I mean, he really should have had like some kind of horrible allergic reaction and like had to have
like
an EpiPen.
Swollen up or like gotten older somehow or something.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, then Boss Baby's like, hey, my mission's done. I'm going to get out of here. Turns out that they have this Men in Black type squad that can just wipe your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this was very upsetting.
Very. So I'm glad you found this upsetting because I was like, because think about how many times this happened and it didn't work out.
Right. So basically so Boss Baby's like, it's going to be like I was never here. Parents are asleep and like these little babies in these hazmat suits are just scrubbing any existence of Boss Baby from the house. But then like you have to, there's doctor's visits. There's like people, they replace photographs. So we see that happen.
Yeah.
But there's so much stuff that you have to like replace with that. And we're all supposed to be just okay with it, that this mother is losing her baby.
They're wiping the memory of their child away.
Yeah.
So there's a picture that they set up earlier of Tim and the baby in the bath together. And then they take the baby out of the picture. So it's just Tim in the bath.
Yeah, they Photoshop it. This is some Stalin kind of
crap.
Really,
that's holy shit, yeah. That's some bummer stuff right there.
Yeah, and Tim, they're like, and they just offer it to Tim. Like, Tim gets, I guess, because he helped Boss Baby, he just, they're like, I forget what they say, something like baby bye-bye or some creepy phrase.
Oh, yeah, okay. Baby bye-bye. It's like, oh, no thanks.
Yeah, because he wants to remember this. He wants to be haunted by this forever. And then Boss Baby's leaving. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to get this corner off. So it's going to be great. And then, yeah, then goes to the cab and then turns around for one last look. And you think there's going to be this heartfelt moment. He's like, oh, can you help me reach the thing? Again, why aren't baby co-cabs made for babies? But then, so he goes off and works the corner office. Tim's life goes on as it was, I guess.
Well, in the corner office, so this is the one of the important things, is that you show him in the corner office and he drops a crayon he just sharpened and it's on the floor and very hard to retrieve. Then they show him pooing on the potty and realizes that the toilet paper dispenser is too far away to comfortably grab while after pooing.
Mm-hmm.
One, to further your I'm only going to be called your white whale of this movie. Why is it so far away if only babies live here?
Yeah. What is...
Like, much like the cab, why is it so far away?
Well, also, before we get to that part, when he gets back to Baby Co., there's a huge celebration for him.
Yes.
Which I'll back up real quick and say, as soon as they knew his plan, Francis' plan, why didn't he just call Baby Co.? That was his job, was to figure out what it was and then be like, hey, this guy's doing all this evil stuff, plus he stole my magical formula. But whatever. My guess is, if you want to try to explain it, is that he was like, if they know that I lost the formula, I'm in huge trouble.
Yeah, they'll probably make him just stay a baby.
That's my guess. But anyway.
Wipe his adult mind, his functioning, perfectly fine adult mind, and let him live as an infant in these stranger's house. These are fucking evil things. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This is the Nazis have won, and this is the eugenics.
Yeah,
and
this is terrible, the way they run the world. But you're supposed to be treated like it's all right.
No, and this Men in Black.
And
like
then
dystopia.
At the end, so when they're having this party, they're all like, because they treat the bottle like it's also booze visually in a few things. They're all like spraying him down with the milk like he's like it's champagne or something like that in celebration. Is that good for him to take that much of that formula? Because it turned that one guy into a baby. Or is it just making him even more of a baby? I'm just saying the rules are loose.
I mean, I guess if you think of it as, it's not that the midichlorians make the force. It's just that that's how you can measure the amount of force in your body. It's like they're almost feeding off the force. You can measure the midichlorians, and that's just more of like a representation. Oh, I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
Who made the cake? Did a baby make that cake?
All right, that's
they're
true.
Eating? Anyway,
and if he can speak English, why would they keep calling him Elf and not Gordon Shumway?
Right. I never thought about that. But so then the baby realizes what an empty life only working is. And it's.
Well, no, what he really. It, Tim sends him a letter.
Well, Tim sends him a memo, which they've referenced earlier
that's
powerful because kids love office jokes. And then, yeah, Tim writes a memo and sends him a box of all these beads that represented, in one of his earlier speeches, represented love or something.
Is that what that was? I missed that completely.
Because that's when he's like, then there's some love for you. There's someone, now I'm going to take all the love.
And beads represent, okay, I knew that was a reference to something I missed, but I certainly wasn't going to go back and figure it out.
And so basically Boss Baby quits. He's so inspired by that he quits and gets sent back to Earth as a baby for this family. In a move that I don't understand because it is, and he finds out because everyone has a tickle spot. That's been a recurring theme in the movies. When the thing tickles him, he holds up his foot, not his tummy. So it tickles him. So it's like, oh, you have a soul. He goes back and so this time a cab pulls up, but this time it's like it brought the parents home from the hospital is I think what it was supposed to be doing that time. Not just the baby gets out of the cab and walks.
Okay.
The door.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. So the baby returns, they age together, and that's the, so we catch up to...
Right, so the whole time Tobey Maguire's been narrating, pointlessly, because you're like, why is he even in this movie? And then, eventually it's the future, and this whole time he's been telling a story to his daughter to ease her mind about the new baby. And Boss Baby has grown up to be a giant butthole. He's this big executive guy. Who loves his brother, though, so that's cool.
Yeah, I did like the fist bump handshake thing.
Mm-hmm. Did they call kept back
to,
going?
Yeah, because they called it back to earlier when he was, I mean, it was nice, you know? And then it turns out that the new baby, the girl, she's also a boss baby.
Yeah.
Because she's wearing a power suit.
But she's in the hospital. She didn't show up by a cab. My guess is that there's something else that needs to be done, and that's only Boss Babies only come to Earth when it's their profit margin is at stake.
Yeah, and do you think if sour milk gets them drunk, you could also eat cheese when they get drunk?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking about Alien Nation.
Yeah. I think that's the second Alien Nation reference.
Wait, have we referenced Alien Nation? Oh, we have.
Yeah, I think in Bright.
Yeah. That's totally right.
Yeah. So Boss Baby. And then it's, yeah.
The end. Finn.
So confusing. Like, I don't mean that like, I mean, it is just bizarre. It's like I said, it's like Bright where you explained too much, but not enough. So like you instead of just letting it just be like, no, this kid's imagining that his little brother's a bot. Like that's a perfectly serviceable thing. But then you created this whole pointless universe that is just confusing.
Yeah. I think if I saw this as when I was a kid, like mm-hmm. really young, I think I'd enjoy the shit out of it.
Yeah, but I bet you, it makes me actually want to watch Monsters, Inc. because I bet Monsters, Inc. makes more sense. Like, is it more
Monsters,
cogent?
Inc. is adorable.
Yeah, but it's a more cogent universe.
Oh, wait, 100%
is. Yeah, so you can make a kid's movie that is also makes
But Monsters,
sense.
Inc. was 100% stolen from Little Monsters. Yeah, so it's...
But
yeah.
That has a fairly cogent universe.
Yeah.
Then. But I'm just saying that... There's so much of this that's nonsensical. I mean, other movies of this kind of Secret Life of Pets that I've mentioned before and all that, those are a little bit more self-contained and make some sense. This was just out there, my man.
Yeah.
Daddy-o.
Though monsters have a university, so that maybe that's where Dr.
That's true.
Baby comes
I haven't
from.
Seen that one, so that could get...
Yeah.
That could blow this whole thing up. Wide open.
Yeah, Boss Baby. I say if you have a child, this would probably be cool to watch. I mean, it's not even like if you're high, it would be fun. Like,
no,
it's just kind
of... Show your kid a better movie. There's tons of... Show him a Pixar movie. Go with one of those. Or some obscure French animation.
Yeah, that was all the French I knew, and that's not even the right French. John, I was thinking that scene in Boss Baby where they put baby powder on the baby's butt, and then he farts, and the powder just shoots into the air. I was like... Man, I wish I could watch a full-length feature that features flatulence and maybe, dare I wish, flatulence from a corpse?
Mm.
Any ideas where I could turn?
Gosh. Well, really, how to narrow it down to something worth watching. You've already seen The Godfather.
I've seen Godfather 2, Godfather 3, the best one.
I'm going to go with Swiss Army Man.
Oh, yeah, I probably should watch that with Harry Potter.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe Voldemort killed him and his body was used in that movie.
Yep. That's the backstory.
Yeah.
Have you seen it already? Is that...
What?
No, I thought because you guessed that Voldemort killed him, I didn't know if you had already seen this movie.
No, I mean, I just assumed. I mean, you've seen the Harry Potter ones and when
there's no other way for Daniel Radcliffe to have died.
Well, you think, at the end of the movie where they, instead of using a stuntman, they actually had the guy playing Voldemort murder Daniel Radcliffe.
with magic.
You would think, wow.
With actual magic.
I can't believe he took the time to actually learn the Avada Kedavra curse.
Yes.
All right, cool. Yeah, so let's watch Swiss Army Man. It's available streaming somewhere. I don't remember where, but I saw it. I think Amazon Prime has it, maybe Netflix. And you should watch it and then report back when you're done.
Yeah, and then do a podcast about it. And this time we'll listen to it.
Shh. Don't give away our secrets.